This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to episode 211. I'm Chris Stafford. And we have a busy lineup for you this week with the winners from the North America Junior and Young Rider Championships, Mackenzie Wickham, who won the one-star, and Alexandra Bau, who won the two-star. We'll also be hearing from Tammy Smith, the winner of the USEA Gold Cup CIC three-star, and Frankie Tirot-Stutz, the winner of the CCI three-star. And then later on in the program, we're going to be continuing our series leading up to the FEI 2018 World Equestrian Games, when I chat with Kendall Tracy, who is Lynn Szymanski's groom. And we begin with Mackenzie Wickham from Area 5, who won the one-star on her own Dasit profile. Congratulations on your win and welcome to the program. Thanks for taking time to come on the show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
How does it feel to be the winner? Have you taken that all in and what it means to you?
It finally began to sink in yesterday when I arrived home and my sister had our house all decorated with gold accents and balloons. And that's when it really, I think, honestly, sunk in. The whole trip home, I didn't really believe it. And then yesterday I got home and just started crying, just how proud I am of my whole year and how everything has really paid off.
Well, what a fabulous way to celebrate with your family. Were they with you in Montana for the event?
Yes, my mom, Michelle Wickman, and my dad, Don Wickman, came up. My sister, unfortunately, had to work, so she stayed home in Texas, but she was watching the live stream the whole weekend and sending me updates. I'm just really, really proud of both me and my horse.
Well, you obviously, you know, had the weekend of a lifetime. You know, we just led throughout the competition there after putting in such a great dressage score with him. Was that something you were expecting going in? Was he on such good form, Mackenzie, that you were really looking to do a personal best performance here?
I knew that we had the potential to do very, very well if I rode him properly. He got off the trailer a bit stiff. And through each ride, he got softer and more supple. And then the day before dressage, we gave him a light jump school. And after that, I knew he had the ability to go in and do very, very well. So I think that, honestly, he just performed really, really amazingly.
So going into the competition, you've had pretty consistent form with this horse, haven't you? I mean, he's always been there for you, there or thereabouts, and you already had a win at the prelim at Texas Rose near home earlier this season. In terms of his overall partnership with you, was this probably the best performance? Because you've won elsewhere. You've had, you know, you as I say, you've been very consistent. How does this compare?
I think this competition is way different because it finally does prove how hard we've worked all season. We switched up our full training program and started riding with Rebecca Brown, and this has made me a better rider and my horse just more responsive. And I really wanted a win, a CCI one-star win for my horse because he deserves it and he works so hard for me. So I'm honestly just so thankful for this opportunity, but I knew he had the ability to do very, very well.
What kind of personality is he? How does he take the big competitions?
He is pretty low-key and chill with most things. I can tell when he gets to a big competition, he knows what he's there to do. He rests a lot in his stall and loves to sleep. But once we pull him out of the stall and I get on him, his ears prick up a little bit and he starts to get has a bit more pep in his step. So I can tell that he knows that he's there to do his job, which I'm really thankful for.
Now, you've been riding him, a couple of years now? How long have you had him altogether?
I have had him for 3 years now. But this past year, I think he's really come one with himself, and I think we have such a great partnership now, we're starting to rely a bit more on each other. And when I don't necessarily know exactly what to do, he's there to say, okay, I've got this. Or if he has a question, I can add a little bit of leg, and he knows that he can trust me.
Well, he's, what, 10 years old now? And he's got, is he 10?
Yes, he just turned 10 about 2 weeks ago.
Well, happy birthday to him.
Yes.
What a way to celebrate with you. So what sort of future do you think you have with this horse when you think of how well you've come along with this partnership over the last few years, and this being a very big result for you, obviously? Where do you see your partnership going with him, McKinsey?
I think I see our partnership going as far as he will take me. I am hoping to move up to intermediate this fall, but I'm just going to listen to him and go as far as he'll let me take him.
That sounds like a good plan. And clearly, you know, you've got a very good partnership already with him, and you know each other very well. You talked about riding with a new trainer now, but you also train with Will Fawdry, don't you?
Yes. This past fall, we went up and trained with Will for about a week and a half in between Carolina International and the Fork. He has been a huge part of my success, and I just like the differences in training between both Rebecca and Will. They are both great trainers, and I think have been a huge part of my success.
So what next? What are you planning with him? Presumably he's having a nice holiday now. What will you do with him for the rest of the year?
Well, obviously he's going to have a big break after this. And then in the fall season, we're planning on just staying in area. He did a lot of traveling last winter and this past spring. So we just want to keep it light and keep him happy. And then we'll come out in the spring hoping to do our first 2-star together.
Well, that's exciting to look forward to that. But in the meanwhile, maybe some more celebrations at home.
I mean, I don't think so. I'm still in such shock, but he just arrived home yesterday, and I greeted him with a bag full of carrots. So he is ready to start his holiday, as am I.
Well, obviously, you've deserved the celebration, and he deserves the carrots. So congratulations again on that win there in the 1-star, McKinsey, and thank you very much for coming on the program. The best of luck with him for the rest of the season and beyond.
Thank you so much.
And joining me now from Area 8 is Alexandra Bow, who is on her way home with her 2-star winner, Ballingowan Pizzazz. Welcome to the program, Alexandra.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, I know you're on your way home, but maybe this is the time that it's actually sunk in that you actually have won, and you know what that means to you. I mean, has it sunk in? Have you really thought about, you know, what this really means to you?
It's definitely started to sink in. I don't think it's fully sunk in yet, but just kind of driving home and thinking about it, I've spent so many years going for this goal, and as young riders being the main current goal, trying to win it, it's just another dream come true.
Now, how long had you been planning this then? How long is it since you knew that you'd be going to young riders?
It started about, I'd say, 4.5 years ago when I got I was riding my little pony Curioso in the prelim, and my coach Jorge Montalvo and I were talking about what I wanted to do and where I wanted to go. And we started talking about young riders, and there were two people at our barn, Emma Partridge and Hope Walden, who went and did the 1-star in 2015. And I realized that I wanted to go to young riders as well. So we started looking for a horse that could take me there, because my prelim pony was only 14-2, and he had been to young riders once before, but we just thought that maybe a bigger horse, since I was still learning and wasn't as accurate, as I needed to be. I needed to get the mileage. So we went ahead and did that, and we got Mango. And then I did my first Gen Riders in 2016 and came in fourth. And we sat down and we talked about it, and we decided that we wanted to come again and try to go for the gold. And I came really close in 2017, and I got the individual silver. And then I ended up switching trainers, and I went to Richard Picken and Joni Morris's barn in Lexington, Kentucky. And we sat down and talked about it again and decided that we would like to return for the two-star and try to win it. And that's what we came and we tried to do. And the whole support team was out there, and it was just an amazing experience. And I think I'm very lucky to be coming home with a gold.
Well, dreams do come true then, don't they? You were on a mission and yeah. to get that gold, and you came home with that medal. What a fantastic result for you. With the partnership that you've had now with Mango, or Balingowan Pizzazz, as we know him, for a few years, three or four years now, and you bought him from Michael Pollard, so he had got some mileage and just ready for you to take over as a young rider. But now he's quite the teenager now, isn't he? I mean, obviously, he's on good form at the moment, but he's become the schoolmaster for you, really, to take you to this level and really launch your career.
Yeah, it's taken quite a bit of time to get to know him and get our partnership going. It was about 6 weeks when we first got him before he would let me go in his stall. And the first 2 weeks that I rode him and brought him home, all we did was rear up and down anything I did, because I was so used to a pony. And then I jumped on Mango, he was 3-star fit at the time and ready to go. And I think over the years, I think we finally now have a partnership going where we understand each other and we really know what each other is thinking. I think really this year, I've gotten to know him so much more, and I feel like he's really let me in, and because of that, we're doing really well.
Is he a little bit more friendly to you now than what he was when you first met him?
He is, yeah. He actually, starting this year, this spring actually, I've seen him lay down. I've only ever seen him lay down 5 times now, and 4 of them have been this year. And he finally lets me kiss him on the nose without having to hold his head.
Well, that's progress. Now you've sealed the partnership now. And obviously, with this sort of result, he should be very proud of himself too. So let's talk about the competition itself and how that started off. Going into the competition, though, how were you feeling about his fitness and his current form? Because he kicked off with pretty good dressage, didn't he?
Yeah, no, I was feeling pretty good about it. His fitness schedule at home, I was working on it with Joni Morris and Richard Picken, and they really know their stuff. They really know what they're doing, and they helped me get him fit for the competition. And so coming into it, I knew that he was fit enough. And once he came off the trailer, he didn't seem tired. He just seemed really ready to go. The first day, we just packed. And the second day we did some stretchy work, and he was very forward and ready, and it was a little bit hard for me to get him to stop. And I mean, coming down that jog strip on Wednesday, it was the first jogs where he kept his ears forward the entire time and not just at the end. And so that was about the time that I knew that he knew where he was. He knew what he was doing here. And then that Thursday morning, he just trotted down the center line on a mission and just kept it up.
Well, he certainly did, didn't he? And put you in a really good position there, top of the leaderboard, going into cross country. Mm-hmm. And now Ian Stark, we know, designed that track. What did you think of it when you first walked it then, Alexandra?
The first time I walked it, I realized that it was a bit similar to the track the year before, but with differences. I think it was different enough that it was a completely different track. It would offer new challenges, but I think it was similar enough where if you went and watched the videos of the year before, you would get to know the terrain and look at how some of it rode. But I think that, I know personally for me and Mango, I was a bit confident about it because we've had a really good cross country record together, and he obviously loves what he does. And just going out of the start box, I think he was ready for it and I was ready for it, and we just kind of took it all in stride.
Well, it seems like you did. Was it probably a personal best for you? Was that a foot perfect performance?
It was, yeah. I was very, very happy with them. There were a few places where we might have been off of our line a little bit, and I just turned them and said, come on, we're going to do it, and he just did it all for me. So he was really jumping spectacular out there.
And he finished strong? Did you have a handful when you finished?
Yeah, he actually, he felt really good when he finished, and when I jumped off of him, in the vet box, I had to go grab my other one, so I just took all the tack and took off in the golf cart. And my team and everyone did a fantastic job cooling them off. And by the time I got my other one tacked up and I was trotting out of the barns back to the start, Mango was already on his way back. And they said that he showed up in the vet box and he only spent, like, at least 10 minutes there. And that was, he said that he was, like, back to normal. So he felt very good coming off.
Fantastic. Well, we should mention that you were also sixth with Mr. Candyman. When you said you had another ride there, people are probably thinking, well, gosh, how many horses could she ride in one competition? Well, you did ride Mr. Candyman, and you got him into sixth place there, climbed up from 11th after dressage.
Yeah.
So a fantastic competition all round for you with two rides there, Alexandra.
Yeah.
Now, going into the show jumping, I wanted to go back to Mango's show jumping there and what that road like for you. It was a course designed by Chris Barnard, who we know well, and that usually very friendly courses. How did Mango tackle it?
I think he tackled it really well. I'm actually, because I went on Mr. Candyman first, I got a bit of the lay of the course, which I thought was a bit of an advantage over some of the riders that only had one ride. Mm-hmm. And I did end up having a little mistake on Mr. Candyman that resulted in a stop going into the ABC. We cut the turn just a little bit, and he's a bit spooky, so he just kind of backed off of it. It wasn't his fault by any means. But I think going off of that ride onto Mango, I took what I had learned from Mr. Candyman and tried to incorporate it with Mango, and he, in the warm-up, was just jumping out of his skin. He was jumping everything huge. We found all the right distances, and then going into the arena, I just felt that he looked at the course, and then he looked at the crowd, and he knew where he was and what position he was in. He's a very smart horse, and I think he knew that he was the last one in the warm-up ring. So
he knew he was going to be king of the day.
I think he felt really good. Yeah, no, I think he knew that going down the first dog strip on Wednesday.
And were his ears pricked then at the end of the show jumping?
Oh, yeah, there was a big smile on his face.
Fantastic. And an even bigger smile on your face, of course. What does this really mean to you then?
Yeah.
Because you obviously were clearly focused. This was a goal for you. You come here now a number of times to the young riders. You knew the routine, the event, I mean, the atmosphere of these big occasions. You took it all in your stride to win the big prize. So what does that finally mean to you now that you've got your arms around the whole thing?
It really means a lot. I've been chasing this dream for quite a while, and the people behind me, everyone that was in Kentucky and everyone that was out at Rebecca Farm that has just stood by my side and guided me. There's definitely too many people to name, but all of the coaches, my parents, my siblings, the ones who've come to all the shows, I feel kind of bad for them. But it's kind of been dragged along on the trip, and I mean, just to win the gold and make my dream come true. But then I think it was everyone's dream at that point, for all the people who are behind me. And then this one ended up being more than just me by the end of it, because on Thursday I found out that one of my friends back in Kentucky had passed away. So that was a bit of an emotional win. JJ, she's with Area 8, the photographer. It was her best friend. So I think when I came out of that arena after the stadium, there were a lot of tears. And it was just a really emotional win. And it was just, it was really good for everyone.
Yes, I'm sure that just the sort of result that you needed to keep your spirits up. And we should mention that you're driving with your dad and your brother. You're talking about your team now. So let's give them both a shout out on the show here, because, you know, they without them, you wouldn't be getting home with your horses.
Yeah. No, my dad, Dave Baugh, and my brother, Zach Baugh, who ended up being my groom as well, they I really couldn't have come out without them, and I definitely wouldn't be making it home without them. So for them to sit in the car for 30 hours with me means a lot.
And let's not forget your mom.
Yeah, Kelly Vaught. Yeah, she drove out with us as well. She ended up having to fly home for work and with the grandmas and my sister, Tori Baugh, and Sharon Rivenbark and Ruth Baugh. So they're at home and working, and I mean, just everyone behind me, I really couldn't have done it without them.
Oh, terrific family support there, and I dare say there may be some celebrations when you get home too.
Yes, there should be.
Yeah, wonderful.
I think my dressage coach, Reese Koffler Stanfield, I think we're having a pizza party soon. So.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations again on winning the gold there, young riders. Tremendous success for you. And, of course, good luck to the rest of the season with him. Where will you go with Mango now? Well, obviously he'll have a bit of a rest, but what will you do with him for later on in the season?
Yeah, he's definitely going to have a bit of a rest. And then our goal for now is we're going to aim for a plantation and do the two-star there, because I'm in the Eventing 18 program, so they're going to be having their training sessions about the week before plantation. So we figured we'd go up to Pennsylvania for that and then just stay for the show. As a build-up, our main goal this fall is to do the Fair Hills CCI two-star on both of the horses. So that'll be our goal for the end of this year, and then we'll just see how that goes and plan next year.
Fantastic. Well, lots to look forward to for the rest of this season, and the very best of luck to you, Alexandra, and thank you so much for taking time to come on the program. Safe travels home.
Yeah, no, thank you.
And I'm joined now by Frankie Tirot-Stutz, the winner of the CCI three-star, who's also on her way home. You're actually in Oregon at the moment, I believe.
Yeah, we have about 24 hours total from Rebecca Farm to where I live in Northern California. So yesterday we did the long day and left in the morning and did about 16 hours, and I've got roughly 7 or 8 to go today.
And we should explain, first of all, thank you for joining us today, because I know you've got to be hands-free. We should explain that we don't want you to be holding your phone while you're driving, do we?
Well, I just got pulled over. I wasn't even back on the freeway yet, and I was checking some emails at a stoplight, and I got pulled over and got a ticket. So
right.
I don't want another one.
All right. Well, we apologize for the quality of this audio, but we at least managed to catch Frankie. And first of all, congratulations on winning there. That's a nice result for you. You've been consistent with this horse, but that must be nice to have that win under your belt.
Yeah, I mean, it feels so good to win, you know, anywhere. But Rebecca Farm is a really special event to me, and I think for a lot of people, it's such a magical place to get to be and to get to compete, and to win there of all places is, I think, extra special with, you know, how much the Broussards back our sport and just what a beautiful venue it is in general.
Well, it was really from start to finish. You were consistent throughout. You got off to a great start with your dressage. He's a horse, as I said, that has been consistent with you. I mean, you had a little hiccup, I believe, this season, but apart from that, he regularly places with you. What is it, do you think, that clicks in the partnership that you have with him, Frankie?
Well, I think I don't know. He's a quirky horse, and he's, I always say he's got a really funny sense of humor. But from the first time at Clayton Fredericks, when I sat on him, from the time I jumped him over the cross rail, he felt like my old advanced horse, and I just felt kind of like putting on my old tennis shoes again. And that's kind of how he's been. The flat, he was not a fancy horse. I wouldn't have called him to start. And he really put in a lot of time and developed that. And I competed him in pure dressage as well. The last 3 years, he's gone to the dressage championships. And he's now lives at my house. But before that, was kept at just a dressage barn for the last 4 years. So I think we've been able to develop that part. And I think, you know, just that's where having one horse currently comes into play is, you know, he and I spend a lot of time together, and I'm the only one who rides him every day. And, you know, I do all his fitness work and everything myself. And I think when you have that kind of partnership with a horse, it's a really special thing.
Well, you've been leading up to this with obviously your fourth place at Bromont CCI 3 Star last year. So this was probably your big goal, was it, for this year leading up to Rebecca?
I was actually going to go to Mill Street this year with him, but then I wanted to focus on our show jumping a bit more. It's kind of been an area where we've been restructuring things a little bit. He was before would get a little bit strong in the show jumping, and I've really struggled to figure out what bit to put him in, and I finally have him kind of in a basically a snaffle, and I think he's going really well. And so I wanted to, before going across the pond, take some time to do that. So Rebecca was actually a later minute decision for me, but I think, and Bromont was too, actually. He was supposed to go to Jersey, and we went there, and then he cut his foot in the wash rack before dressage, and he was actually quite lame in dressage, and I was grateful to not have him spun out. And then I pulled him up after dressage and didn't run cross country, and I was 4.5 months pregnant, so that didn't leave me a lot of options with a very fit horse. Bromont obviously is a very tough track, and it wouldn't have been the one I picked for his first, but he ended up being brilliant there. I think where we really, you know, struggled at Bromont, which was disappointing, was in the flat, which can be one of our best phases together, because he'd been on the East Coast for, you know, since Jersey, and I hadn't been riding because I just met him. And I think that kind of hurt our partnership a little bit. But I also learned from that, you know, before big competition, no matter what, he has to be where I am, and if that can't happen, then we won't go.
Well, you made a big improvement, obviously, on his dressage. So what were your expectations coming into Rebecca Farm then, given you rerouted?
I knew that he is good enough in all three phases to win, and I've been working, you know, his flat work is very consistent, and I've been working with Lilo Kaur, who's you know, in a German Dressage Hall of Fame, and just working on every single movement and the importance of every single movement. So I wanted to get that right. I could hear her yelling at me in my second half turn on the haunches, and I knew that if I got a 4, she was going to have a lot of coarse words for me if I got stuck in that. So, you know, I just riding every movement there, and then such a fun horse to go cross country on. So I guess to answer your question, Chris, like, you know, I knew he had the ability to win it, but I didn't really try to go in with that expectation. My goal really for the week was to be in the moment and in every moment, like with my friends and with the people at Rebecca and with my family there, just enjoying those moments with them. And then, you know, really being in each moment with Catwin and in each moment of my test and riding it to the most we could. And I knew that that was all we could control, and whatever the result was with that, if I was able to do that and kind of be present, then I was going to be happy with whatever happened.
So in, compared to your other events with him then, was this more than you expected? I mean, how did it compare in terms, I mean, obviously your dressage was very good. You're not going to be shouted at by Lilo, I wouldn't think, not just yet with that dressage.
No, I mean, my dressage, I was really happy with my test for sure. I thought it was one of the better tests we've done. You know, we've logged a lot of time in the dressage ring together now. So, you know, that 72, 73% is typically where we are at the peer dressage shows, and I wanted to be there with all three judges, and so I was really excited that that was able to happen.
Well, it certainly was consistent. Now, what about the cross-country course? What were your feelings about that before you rode it?
I had, you know, a few places where I was kind of questioning, you know, what to do. He's very bold cross-country, and it's funny because he's a horse actually, like, into the coffin that's challenging there, or, you know, some of the big waters and stuff. You don't really want to punch him in because you end up coming in almost too much horse. And so, you know, I've had to kind of adjust to that over time, but I was so unbelievably lucky this week to have, one of my best friends, Kelly Prather, who grew up just a few miles away from me at home. She flew in to see my boys and be there with me all week. So she was there, and that was, you know, really exciting and wonderful, and also so helpful. I mean, I really recommend getting good friends who've been some big four stars they'll help you with everything.
Yes.
But you know, she and Tamara Smith, my other good friend and coach, both walked the course with me, and so I felt like I had a really good game plan. And to be honest, the size of the fences after Bromont wasn't too overwhelming. I think Bromont's such a big track, but there were some tricky things, and you know, a three star is a three star, and I knew that I just needed to be sharp all the way around.
Well, you had Caroline Martin breathing down your neck, right, going into the final phase there. Did you feel that pressure, or were you just thinking, look, whatever will be, I'm here to enjoy the event and, you know, hope for the best?
I mean, I was definitely thinking what will be. I knew that Caroline was on a really good show to be ours. I had, I think, 7 or 8 points between her and I, which was comforting. You know, I just really kept reminding myself that I just wanted to enjoy the moment this week. And I was glad that, you know, I had the one down after I took a bit of a, I tried to take a really long one at the previous, and he bailed me out. And then I think I was just a little rattled and pulled on too many times not to take another flyer. But I was just really proud of that phase, and that we were able to kind of pull it together and put our practice to use, and just so excited with how he was all week.
So what were your biggest takeaways then, apart from the prize money and the ribbons and everything else that goes with winning a three-star? What did you take away from that performance with him in terms of your overall journey?
I mean, I'm just so, like, I couldn't believe it. Honestly, I'm just so excited of where we've come and of the road ahead. I mean, I always kind of at the end of any big show chalk it up to win if you have a really healthy, happy horse. And it was funny because my one son, my older son, and Chatwin, like, love each other so much. And all week, Drake's been asking if he could ride Chat, and I had to tell him no because there were so many stewards in the barn and everything, obviously, which he didn't understand why he couldn't get on his horse. But on Sunday after show jumping, it was funny because I got back to the barn and I told Drake he could finally ride him, and Drake got on and walked around the barns a few times, and it just kind of, you know, made me smile looking at this amazing horse who's such a big part of our family that, you know, he can win a three-star and a few minutes later be letting his kid ride in bareback around the barn and be just as content doing that. So, you know, I think that an overall takeaway was just that I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to own him with my cousin and to, you know, have him live in my house and have him be such a big part of our family. And for it to all come together, it's literally my favorite venue with some of my very favorite people there was pretty special.
I'm sure it was. So what's next for Chatwin, apart from, I'm sure, a rest now, giving him a break, but what are your plans for the rest of the year, Frankie?
Yeah, we'll get home today and he'll get to go out in my field and play for a couple of weeks, and then we'll kind of reevaluate. You know, luckily he looks really good, and I don't know if I'll try to, you know, leg him back up quick for the AEC. And go do that, because they'll kind of need to come back into work around that time for Bear Hill. My bigger goal this year will probably be to go and do the 3-star at Bear Hill, and then, you know, decide what to do after that, after we see how that goes.
So if you check those boxes then, is the 4-star on your to-do list?
We'll see. Everybody keeps asking me, and I don't know if I'm that brave. But we'll see. I think if we're able to go clean at Bear Hill, then I'll have to really give it some thought, because then I'll have the three of them clean, and then I think my excuses will be, you know, hard to come by. But we'll see. For now, I'm just so lucky to have Chatwin and trying to just take in the moments from this week.
Well, that's the thing, you see. You're raising expectations with each success.
Yeah, not with myself. I'm just as nervous every time out of the box. So, it's, you know, we'll see when we get there. I've been getting a lot of flack from a lot of people. When are you going? And when you're going, I'm going to group for you. And when you're going, I'm going to do your job for you. And this and that. But so we'll see. Meg Kapp is one of my good friends. She's so funny. Groomed for Sinead for a long time, and now she has her program of her own, and she left me a message and said, when you're going, I'm going to do your job for you next year. And I said, I don't know, Meg, that's a long way away. I don't know if I'm not brave. And she said, well, I'm just going to enter you. So I'm getting a lot of slack. And I said, yeah, well, good luck with that. But we'll see. I mean, you know how horses go and what can happen, but we'll see what it looks like in April.
Absolutely. Well, no pressure, obviously, but enjoy the moment. Congratulations again on winning the CCI 3-star there at Rebecca Farm, and the best of luck with him in the future. Thanks for taking the time to come on the program, Frankie, and safe travels home. Both hands on the wheel, okay?
My pleasure. Thanks so much, Chris, for having me.
And finally, of our riders from Rebecca Farm last weekend, we're going to be joined by Tamri Smith, who won the Adequan USCA Gold Cup CIC 3-star, riding Fleeceworks Royal. Long drive home, you were telling me, Tammy, 24 hours. How are they all arrived home? Not too stressed, I hope, from that trip.
No, they handle it pretty well on the way home. All of them got home rested and feeling great, and we keep a close eye on them on the way home and take their temps when we get back, and they stayed hydrated, and so we're all happy to be back and resting. Well, they're resting, I'm not resting.
I was going to say, no, I doubt you will be doing much of that just yet, but that is a straight 24 hours then. You just keep driving, you just go straight through.
On the way home we do, because they get a week to rest on the way home. On the way out, we do it in 2 days. But yeah, they, you know, the horses handle it pretty well, shockingly enough, as long as you just keep an eye on how they're traveling. I've really never had any issues with them not being able to haul straight through.
Well, congratulations on your win. That's a very nice win for you with the mare. How does it compare with previous performances? What was it what you were expecting of her on the day?
I feel like I'm really solidifying our partnership, and I'm getting to know her so well. I mean, I've had her since she's 3, but, you know, as everybody knows, it takes such a long time to make an advanced horse and then really get to know them. And, you know, they're learning as well as you are. And, you know, it wasn't her best showing, by any means, but I'm hoping to not kind of peak right now. I'm looking at doing a CCI, and so I'm hoping to peak at that event. And, you know, we had some bobbles in the dressage with her, and cross country she was foot perfect. Couldn't have asked her to be better. And then the show jumping, she was really super too. I wasn't great, but she sure was. And so I'm just really, really thankful that I get to ride such a special mare. She's just really turned into quite the athlete, and it's fun. It's just great times, you know, being able to ride her.
Well, talk us through the competition there. You say, you know, she wasn't on her best throughout the competition, but she pulled it off for you. She seems to be one of those mares. She just gets her head down and does her best.
She really does. She, you know, we're in a place where we're kind of playing around with the dressage. I used to have to kind of work her down quite a bit before I did my test, because she's, you know, she's not a super hot mare, but she's not kicking quiet. She goes into the ring and she kind of comes up a bit. And so this time I didn't do any of that. I pre-rode her just to make sure that, you know, she was half halting off my seat and listening to the aids. But I didn't get her tired before the test. And the reason why was because I'm really trying to look at trying to get the brilliance of her movement. And if I work her down too much, then I'm not going to get that. And so it was a risk that I took, and I, you know, it caught me out, because I wasn't in first after dressage. I had probably 5 mistakes in my test. But the overall brilliance of her movement, and she settled in after probably her first medium trot. And then I was able to ride her, and I got some really good, really good movement out of her. Lots more suspension than I'm normally getting. And that's just a piece that, you know, you have to learn how to develop and know how much you need to, you know, it's all such an intricate process of preparing them. And Rebecca Farm is a very electric ring, more so than a lot of rings. And the last warm up ring is right next to the cross country, and they were running cross country at the same time, and that kind of set her off a little bit. But she's never one to not try and go in the ring and do her best. And so we had some miscommunication starting out. She thought we were halting at X, and she was nearly at the halt. I'm like, no, we're halting at I. And so there was that communication. She cantered out of her halt, and then cantered into her first shoulder in. But then she settled and put in quite a lovely test. And so I'm, you know, that's just part of the process, you know, and that's what's fun about it, because I learned so much more about her that week, you know, this weekend, about, you know, how to prep her better for her test, and that it is time for me not to, you know, take her for a gallop in the morning and just trust that she has that ability to settle in and show off in the ring.
Tell us about the cross country, Tammy. Did it ride as expected?
I've been there. You know, I've ridden, I've ridden in the CIC several times. There was some changes. The Normandy bank was quite difficult for the CIC 3-star. It was a very big ditch bank, bounce over a log, and then sharp bending line to a broom straw brush corner in 4 strides. And she couldn't have been better. She was just right on it. I'd done it last year, but I think there were 6 strides to the corner, and it didn't ride great because she was quite green. And this time I just jumped up the bank and over the log and looked at the corner, and she's like, got it. She didn't put a foot wrong. This year we had to jump the CCI coffin, which is a very upright hanging log, straight down to a ditch. It's very steep. I wasn't sure what she would do that, because she hasn't seen anything like that before. But she was literally foot perfect. I didn't have one bad jump, one spot that I thought, well, I could have done that better, or she could have listened to me better. Really, it was easy, which is what you want to feel, you know. And the last couple shows, her and I have just really just gotten an understanding. You know, she hasn't always been the most rideable. She's almost too brave and too bold sometimes. And now she just, you know, she just is listening and understands her job and isn't trying to take over. I feel like on the cross country, we have a very good, very good partnership. So the cross country felt amazing, and it's an Ian Stark course, so it wouldn't be the easiest, and it's a big, bold track. The time is virtually impossible to make in the CIC. I think if I was on a fast thoroughbred, then, you know, it'd be possible, but I didn't really want to go faster than I already did, so luckily it paid off.
And how did she feel after cross country and going into the show jumping?
Really great. I've, you know, that I would say with her and I, we've struggled mostly in the show jumping, because she can be strong and the fences don't really back her up. She is a careful horse though. So, the last two shows I've competed her in a snaffle, which, has been interesting because I've ridden her mostly in a double bridle or a Pelham to show jump. And I went for my show jump lessons with Susie Hutchinson, and the first one before Rebecca Farm, she saw me in my snaffle and she said, "You're brave." And I'm like, "Well, I think it's time. I think she's jumping in a better shape with it." And we worked with it, and she said, "You know what? I think you're right. I think she looks good." So I'm a little bit insecure about riding her in a snaffle in the show jumping, but she was, I mean, her round was absolutely beautiful. I made a bid for the last jump. I knew I had a rail in hand, and I've been struggling to make time. And I had a last split decision to decide either to add for the seven or to move up for the six. And I made a decision too late. I really screwed up royally. I had the rail, but it was all me, and poor Rory. I felt so bad for her because I made a very bad decision moving up to that six. But other than that, I mean, the show jump round was literally foot perfect. So I feel really good about, you know, where she's going now. And I feel like she's a very solid three-star horse now. And so, and I feel like she's dependable. And I haven't always felt that way. I feel like she's really super dependable. and so that's what you want to come out of something like this and feel like they really are, you know, something you can depend on, and that they're not, you know, volatile in what decisions they're going to make. And I can say that's really where I'm at with her now. So.
It sounds like it sounds like you came away from this with a nice positive experience, confidence building. And what does it inform you now of your plans for the future with this mare, Tammy?
Well, I've always known she's pretty special. She, you know, just has always been a very special horse. And so, you know, we just take it one day at a time and look to doing a CCI in the fall, and I'm doing a, what's the matter? Sorry, I just had a dog run under a horse. We were having a little bit of an urgent matter. Anyway, she's just doing, looking to do a CCI in the fall. And so, I'm really excited, and I feel like I can do a CCI in the fall and be competitive. You know, it's not, she did her first CCI at Fairhill last October, and I went there just for the experience and to know that she was a CCI horse. And this time I think it's time for me to start being more competitive at the level. So I'm excited.
Yeah, lots to look forward to then with her. And as you say, you can really turn it up. And this was a great win for you, great confidence booster. So congratulations again there, Tammy, and the best of luck with this mare. Thanks for coming on the show again.
Yeah, thank you, Chris.
And finally, to continue our series leading up to the FEI World Equestrian Games in Tryon, North Carolina this fall, my guest is Kendall Tracy, who is the groom of Donna for Lynn Szymanski. Kendall, how are you?
Good, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, good to catch up with you again. And we want to hear, obviously, about your partnership with Donna and being a groom for the team again. And it's always a fun story behind the scenes, so we want to hear all about that. But first of all, tell us how long you've been working for Lynn and looking after him.
Yeah, this is about my fifth year working for Lynn and Donner. I kind of came upon it on accident. I brought my horse to Lynn's place just to board him there, and we were headed to Florida, and she needed an extra set of hands, and I needed some extra money, so I stepped in there and then worked part-time, and slowly it became full-time, and I haven't left since.
and the rest is history. Yeah, you've had some great fun. Yeah, so we want to hear about all your travels with him and the fun experiences and the challenges that you've had along the way. But I'm sure there are people listening, Kendall, who are wondering how they get into grooming and to become an international groom. So let's rewind a little bit. Tell us your story. How did you get into horses in the first place?
Yeah, so when I was three, my parents had just started their own company and needed to find us a daycare, but my sister and I rebelled to traditional daycare. So they found us a daycare with ponies, which maybe was a mistake for them. No. So we were hooked onto the horses ever since and got into the show world and did actually saddlebreds for a little while. But kind of got bored with that and found Pony Club, who introduced us to eventing. We like loved the scoring and the adrenaline of cross country. So we were kind of hooked at that point. And we were still in Colorado at the time, and our young rider coach, Dan Binney, would come and teach, and talk about Virginia and the scene up here. So after a bit of time came up, from Colorado to Virginia and spent some time with the O'Connors and with Jan, and went to school and rode our horses, but also with Jan started to groom a little bit, working student-wise, and then kind of slowly progressed into a grooming position there. But yeah.
So Colorado is home to you then? That's where it all began? That's your home base?
It is, yeah. My parents still live out there. I still call it home, even though I haven't been there for a while.
So having done a bit of stand-up, it's unusual then you went from some saddlebreds to eventing. It was, once you switched then, it was always going to be eventing, was it, Kendall?
It was. The show world was just so political and lots of circles on the flat. So once we saw even just the dressage, scoring, and getting the adrenaline of jumping, and it was definitely no turning back from there. It was definitely our calling.
But in terms of grooming, what made it that your calling? What do you think it was about grooming? And obviously you ride yourself, you compete yourself, but what was it about grooming for an international rider that drew you into the sport?
I think it honestly was just the horses themselves and all that went into it to get like a successful result at the end of the day. I just had more to it than the show world to me. And the horses that I've all dealt with, I've just fallen in love with. Like Donner is such a character and so fun to be around day to day. Like, I don't mind just like, hanging out with him day to day.
Well, that's what often happens, isn't it? When you're grooming, you just form such a bond with your horses that are in your charge. So let's talk about the Donna, the deer, because he's quite a character, isn't he? Yeah. When you first met him, what were your impressions?
I honestly, like, instantly did fall in love with him. He is a bit of a weirdo. Like, he has a lot of special things that he likes, but he's the sweetest horse. when you get to know him and know what he likes. So from the start, I just kind of had my eye on him and knew like he was something special and just a fun character to be around. He can be like a bit difficult, but you just kind of have to laugh at his difficult, quirky parts because the rest is so worth it.
Well, obviously worth it. So let's talk about the travels and the, you know, the big competitions that you've had with him now. Pick out some career highlights along the way and what you found to be most challenging when you've been on the road with him.
Yeah, I've been pretty lucky. He's taken me so many places I never would have even imagined going. He's actually a really amazing shipper as far as trailering and flying. Like he is a real pro at that. He likes like being in his box and secure and like knowing what's going on. Where he more struggles is like arriving somewhere new and not necessarily in the stables, but like walking somewhere far away or like just outside of the barn. He gets a little overwhelmed. So we've gotten to go a lot of places. He usually like settles in quite well at new venues. Like the struggle for me usually is like jogs or something like that that he gets pretty pumped up for.
When you say he gets pumped up, how do you cope with that?
I just try to keep him happy and figure out a way to like stage him into the pressure. I keep him in his happy place as much as I can. He's a great grazer. We do a lot of it. So I try to keep him in a happy place until we have to take him. And Lynn and I try to keep him away from the pressure until we have to put him in it. And then at that point, kind of just have to cope with his antics. hold on tight.
So talk about some of the events that you've been to around the world. You know, pick some out there and why you've particularly enjoyed them, regardless of the success that you've had. You know, what about those events? I think there's, you know, going to be listeners to think, well, I'd love to go there, or that, you know, that's on my bucket list. What's so special about these events, and especially being a groom?
Yeah, we've gotten to go to a lot of cool ones. One of my favorite is Burley. We've gotten to go there twice, and it's just very, like, a relaxed atmosphere for as big of an event as it is. Like, Donna loves it there. The stables are, like, away from the venue, but even the venue isn't a, like, high-pressure situation. Like, he really did like it there and thrive in it. Badminton is also another favorite. It's a little more, like, closed in. He was a little less happy there, but he's still it's still kind of that same English like relaxed feeling, so he always really thrives in those type of situations. Like an event like Aachen was amazing as a groom and super cool to be there, but he didn't love it just because everything was so close and so much going on, so he's more of a relaxed atmosphere kind of guy.
Well, that's obviously, you know, you find around as you travel, you know, where they like and what's the best environment for them and so on. What's a typical routine, though, once he does get settled in? What do you do to keep him happy apart from keeping his head down grazing?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we do a lot of grazing, for sure. That's something we do often. We'll take him out for some, like, rides and everything. But we just keep it, we'll try to keep it similar to his routine at home. He likes to be dabbled with, but he also likes his time alone. So between the riding and grooming and caring and grazing, I try to make sure he has some alone time where no one's fussing with him. Because at the big events when he's getting like massaged and groomed and rolled and grazed, he kind of gets over us by Sunday. So he does need his alone time.
And in terms of, you know, the big competitions, you know, when you're getting ready for a big championship like this, obviously there's excitement, there's anticipation, there's a little bit of apprehension as well. Talk about what it's like as a groom when you're getting ready for, like, a World Equestrian Games. This is a big deal. It's a career highlight for obviously, for Donna and for Lynn, but it is also for you, isn't it, Kendall?
Yeah, it's super special to be a part of such a cool team. Going into it, it's definitely added pressure, but I try to keep it the same routine that he's been in for the entire time I've known him. I probably look at him an extra 10 times, even though I'm staring at him all the time anyways. But I try to not put extra pressure on him when I'm hanging out with him, because I think he doesn't necessarily need that stress, you know? So I just try to keep his routine the same and keep the care the same, and do the most I can for him.
So what do you most look forward to then with a team competition? Because it's different to an individual performance, you know, it's different to going off to badminton or Burley. Talk a little bit about that team experience, what it's like being a team groom.
Yeah, it's been cool. I really like interacting with all the other grooms and seeing what they do for their horses. Like, Emma is a huge role model as far as that goes. I always keep an eye on what she's doing and new things, and just kind of working as a team. I guess we're in charge of our one horse for sure, but if someone else needs something, or if you need something, it's fun to have that support behind you. Not only the grooms, but everyone involved in the team, the vets and farriers. It's awesome to have that backing at those events.
And, of course, this one being on home turf, you will know Tryon, of course. What sort of expectations do you have going into this competition?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the venue comes. Donnie was there recently for the test event, and he did really well in the setup they had there. So it'll be interesting. I think it'll be a pretty chaotic little scene, but I think it'll be good. I think he'll like it.
And you two obviously will enjoy it being on home turf, and maybe will your family come over and be able to watch you and support?
You know, I'm not sure. I don't think they'll probably make it up, but I know they'll be rooting for us from afar. Try to find time to spend with them away, and I don't want to be distracted from the job.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure. Absolutely. Once you get to the competition, it's head down. And when
exactly.
when you look at your career then so far, Kendall, what would you say would be your career highlights with him?
You know, honestly, just as a whole, I feel like I've been very fortunate to go to so many places and just get to bond with him as much as I have. I feel like we know each other inside out and kind of know where to compromise for each other. And just like being at Rio was an unreal situation. Like, I never would have like pictured myself being in that situation. And all the international events, he's really special to take me the places he has.
Yeah, it really is a treat, isn't it, when they get to take you around the world and obviously doing what you love doing and with a horse you've got such a special bond with. When you look further down the track, Kendall, at your own personal goals now as a groom, as a horsewoman, what's still on your to-do list?
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of started taking it day by day. I'd like to go as far with my own horses as well. And I think the opportunities that Lynn have given me have only benefited me on the other side of the spectrum with my riding and my horses. It's so useful to see the venues and see the backside of the sport at that level. I will always be a Donner fan and go wherever he needs me and anything he needs. So we'll just kind of play it day by day and see where it goes.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for taking the time to come on the program, Kendall, and the very best of luck to you and Donner for the World Equestrian Games. We'll see you there.
Thank you, and thanks for having me on.
And a reminder that the dates of the FEI World Equestrian Games are September the 11th through the 23rd at the Tryon International Equestrian Centre in Tryon, North Carolina. And we'll be continuing this series talking to the riders and grooms leading right up to the competition. And that's our show for this week. Do join us again in 2 weeks' time, where we'll have another episode of the USEA's official podcast. In the meanwhile, be sure to follow us on social media at US Eventing. And keep up with all the latest news, of course, on our website at useventing.com. And you can download this show to any podcast player or directly from iTunes. My thanks again to our guests this week, Alexandra Bauer, Mackenzie Wickham, Frankie Tirot-Stutz, Tammy Smith, and Kendall Tracy. Until the next time, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.